From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
The snowmobile crowd, especially the avid players, will be well aware that trail permits are already for sale online. And when you do buy your permit online, you can support the local club of your choice. Of course, there are savings to be had. If you buy your trail pass before November 1st, it will cost $190 plus a $7.50 processing fee. From there, it goes incrementally up, $220 plus fee before December 1st, and after that, $270 plus fee. So buying early online can save you enough for the first tank of gas this winter. I never got out last year, of course. When you have a stroke on November 1st, it tends to slow you down. So do the treatments for prostate cancer, which I recently endured. The good news for me last week was that my PSA readings have plummeted, and if that keeps happening, I should be good to go if this relentless fatigue gives me a break. Well, we'll see how that goes anyway, because I began writing my Sun Media newspaper column again last week after a month of radiation had me fighting every side effect in the book. Lucky me. But at least I'm still as miserable as ever and old enough not to give a damn what most people think, and I'm not afraid to tell them so. Later today, I plan to visit my snow machine, which is in a barn near where my daughter and husband live. Truth be told, I can't wait to take my 3-year-old granddaughter for a nice ride on a sunny day. The other granddaughter is only one, which may be a little early for her, but there's always next year. And that's what you call positive thinking. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
I love that little tune.
Me too.
Welcome back to the program. Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 59, The Fan, Angela Biola, Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandale, Jessica Ellis, and on the line with us... No, it's not Brad Schlarf. It's the inspector, Chris Whaley, from OPP headquarters in Orillia. Good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm great, Angela. How are you this morning?
I'm feeling like $1 million. There'd have to be two of me to feel any better. How's that?
Terrific. That sounds great.
And Brad Schlarf is impersonating a walleye fisherman this week, I understand. That's why you're filling in.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the backup goalie doesn't ask why the number one goalie can't play the game. He's just happy he's in the game, right? So,
I love that analogy, by the way. That's the best. A lot of things we need to talk about, including water safety. But first, this rather disturbing story that I know you wanted to discuss here with the folks about this. What do they call this? This gamer that that called 911, put a hoax out there. What do they call that now?
Yeah, they call the term swatting. Yeah, okay. And this particular story from the discussion that you and I were having was with respect to an incident that happened in Wichita, Kansas. So yes. Just an absolute terrible tragedy, a misguided prank gone wrong where an innocent man ended up being killed by the police when it was falsely reported that he had murdered a family member and taken others hostage. So the wow. Term swatting, it's used when a person calls 911 or emergency responders and they falsely report a violent crime. And what they're trying to do is trigger a massive response from the police, usually involving the tactical officers or the SWAT team. So that's where the term swatting comes from. So if you've been swatted or you're a swatter, that's your role in all this. So this incident in Wichita, that happened in 2017, it's a couple of gamers that are online. They get in an argument and they agree to get revenge on one of these players by pranking him. So they want to send the police to his house. And this guy says, go ahead, I dare you. Here's my address, 123 Fake Street. So they get a third party involved, this guy from California, who actually calls the police. They can spoof their caller ID to make it look like they're calling from that person's residence. And he says, I've just shot my father. I've poured gas throughout the house. I'm going to light the house on fire, and I've got the rest of my family hostage. So the police respond to that residence. But it's not the guy's residence. It's some It's a previous residence where they don't even know the person that lives there. So when police make contact with that occupant, the guy comes out, he doesn't know what's going on, and they're giving him instructions. The police feel that he was reaching for a weapon, because keep in mind, they have a reason to believe that he just, you know, murdered a bunch of people in the house, and they subsequently shoot him, and he dies, and he's not involved in any of this.
Wow.
So the guy who actually arranged the swatting call got 14 months in jail, and the person who actually made the call and called the police, he got 20 years in jail.
Jeez, holy mercy.
Because of a prank.
Any of this stuff happening north of the border at all, Chris?
Yeah, it does. As a matter of fact, about a year ago, there was a 17-year-old Picton boy. He was charged for an attempted SWAT. There's also been charges in Oakville. There's been investigations throughout the province. The comm center that I work in gets several of these type of calls a year. Now, our supervisors are pretty well trained and dialed in to listen to the signs. There are certain things that you can pick out that you can associate with a swatting call, and they can pass those observations on to the officers that are dispatched. But the police still have to respond like it's a real incident until they can prove otherwise, right? That's what makes these things so dangerous.
That's craziness, man. I never heard that story before. That's insanity. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And these are criminal charges.
Yeah, no kidding, man. That's nuts. This time of year, I'm assuming, I could be wrong, I know you and I talked about it last year, about this time, you know, with hunting season in full swing, and folks maybe thinking that a hunter could be violating some of our wildlife management laws. Are there a lot of calls from people, non-hunters, who, you know, might call 911 and say, hey, there's a guy with a rifle over in the field next door? Is there that type of well, we won't call that prank calling, but sort of uneducated calls?
Yeah, we do get those in the communication center, and we have a great partnership with the MNRF. Those officers will call us. They'll say where they're patrolling that day. They'll make sure that our communicators know what the seasons are, you know, what seasons are open, where they might expect to see hunters, so that we have kind of a heads up. So fortunately, I mean, the vast majority of the hunters are good law-abiding folks. When they're getting out of their vehicles, they're also putting on their orange hat, their blaze orange vests, before they get their firearms out. So when the callers are reporting, yeah, I saw a guy with a rifle, and this is what he looked like, it's pretty easy to connect the dots. So, yeah, you're right. Those are more uneducated calls than the type of pranks or false calls that, are just a wasteful use of police resources and an incredible disregard for the safety of others. So,
You mentioned blaze orange is the fashion this time of year if you're living in rural parts of Ontario, especially if you're out walking the dog or something. I guess blaze orange is in vogue, isn't it?
Indeed, yeah, it is. It is. It's a requirement, and like I said, the hunters know that, and they, the vast majority of them are compliant.
How's your season shaping up? You going to have some time for some fall fishing this year?
Yeah, I hope so. I just came back from Algonquin Park. Big fan of the park, as you know.
Yeah.
I told my family I was ready to do my fall interior backpacking trip, and my daughter said, I think I'd like to go with you. So at 17 years old, she, her and I did 3 days in the park, and I'm just so happy that at 17 years old, she's done high school. She's still interested in the outdoors and spending some time with the old man. So I was happy about that.
Oh, man. Is that the first time you've taken her in an outback trip?
No, as a matter of fact. Nope. She's come with me before. Her and I have done multi-day canoe trips in Algonquin.
Nice.
You know, back from just when she was just little. So, I, as you know, I'm a big believer in having a connection to the outdoors, and I'm glad that I've been able to pass that on to both our kids. So,
oh, nice. Yeah. How many portages, or did you do any on this trip?
This was strictly hiking, so we did six different trails while we were in the park, and we're gonna head to Killarney before it gets too cold. Another one of our favorite parks.
You don't do any winter camping, do you?
I don't do the outright winter camping. I would like to give that a shot, but I mean, as most people, all for the outdoors, no bugs. The colors are beautiful. The weather's a little more pleasant to do those activities in. I get most of my activities in the fall.
We got a guy coming on the phone pretty soon. He is the happy camper, and he loves winter camping. He just loves setting up a tent in the snow, on the ice, anywhere he can find a place to lay it. Insanity,
yeah,
this guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyways, he's on the program later on. Chris, thank you for filling in. Nice job for backup goalie. You did pretty good. We'll see what the average works out to.
But the edge.
You take care, my friend, and
we'll
talk to you soon. All right, you too. Inspector Chris Whaley, inspector with the OPP. He comes to us from OPP headquarters in Orillia.